Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. And it's 12 o'clock on a Wednesday, which means it is the lunch hour with Jason Avant, sponsored by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Doodat Dental Group, official dentists of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Great seeing you, gents.
You
great
too.
Great seeing you gents. As well, man. I got to tell you, man, we just gotten to the point where we get a little bit excited because we know we get to talk to you. You watch the film and everything. And my first question to you is this, Jason.
Okay. Uh-oh.
How quickly can we fit? No, I mean, you know, we didn't recklessly speculate it all week long. Now I'm just trying to figure out how to fix it. How quickly? What can we do to fix this offense? I mean, what are some of the easy fixes? Because you know, some people talking about changing the whole concept. I don't think you can do that. Yeah, not this late in the game. I don't think that can happen.
We've seen them try to change the whole defensive scheme in the middle of the season a couple years ago when we went with Matt Patricia.
Patricia took over for Desai, yeah.
Yeah, from Desai to Patricia. So you can't do that. So, like, you have to call more frequency when it comes to runs. You have to be willing to go more play action to move Jalen a little bit more. And we talked about this last week, is that you need someone to basically be in the booth. This is an easy fix. Be in the booth and log the routes. Know how many guys have done this and that, and call the alternate route for that, right? So if a hitch and go, right? So change up those little things. Also, the thing that you can do, which most people mention this all the time, is include Jalen in the run game a little bit more. You can do those things now. But when it comes to just a whole out change for the offense, it's not going to happen. But it's not just that the offense were bad. The last two games, the defense has been bad.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're starting to tire a little bit, the defense.
Well, yeah, when you go in, you know, you're playing most of the snaps, it gets kind of, you know, it can be tired.
Yeah,
it especially
adds
when you're going against good offenses.
Sure, and they did the last 2 weeks. All right, Jason, let's unpack a couple of things from the particular game on Friday. The play that we've all probably watched a million times, talked about all week, is where Jalen has Devontae open, coming underneath, and it looks like it could be a touchdown, or at least a big play. Also, Goddard looked like he was wide open and where he didn't look.
Yeah.
Take us into that play, what you saw, and what you think Jalen is trying to go through as he progresses and where he's going to go with the football.
So the Bears were in cover, what the offense will call cover zero. Now, they dropped two people out, which gave Jalen a little bit more time. But in Jalen's mind, that's cover zero, and he can't worry about if a guy's going to drop out or not. So in zero rules, what you're going to do is get to your built-in hot route or the guy that's going to be open first, and that's going to be his choice route. And Hugh knows this. It's a halfback choice or receiver choice.
Basically, it's putting me in a bad spot as a defensive end.
Yeah. So you get to go with your choice route where if it's inside leverage, he breaks out. If it's outside leverage, he breaks in. If the middle field is open, you break in like a slant. That's what you do. And in cover zero, technically the middle of the field is open. So Devontae did the right thing and broke in. But there are some quarterbacks and some thoughts that if it's green grass or there's no one around you, you can kind of stop like a hitch route. And so Jalen was anticipating Devontae to stop, but Devontae shouldn't have stopped because it's an in breaker against cover zero, which is middle field open. So that's where the miscommunication was. But either one of those plays to Dallas and or to Devontae was a touchdown if they would have completed the pass.
All right, so from your perspective, Jalen did the right thing in where he should go with the ball, but yeah, him and 100%. Devontae on the wrong page. The Goddard route, because people have brought that up.
Yeah.
Is that just one against that coverage? He's just not even going to look there because he knows Devontae's open. That's number one, and just we won't worry about Goddard? Because you watch it from the big screen, you know, the big camera right above. It's like, wait, he's wide open too, and he didn't look over there. So take us to why he doesn't look over there.
So, well, you have a nickel in that position that's on A.J. Brown. He blitzes off A.J. Brown's face. It's technically three guys over there when the ball is snapped. So Jalen is, that's three for three. Right. I might as well stay with my front side, my backside read, which is Devontae. He's the shortest throw. He's my number one option. I should stay with that. The guy blitzes off of A.J.'s face. Right. Now it's 2-on-3, so one of those guys are going to be wide open. And I say this, if you were a super intuitive quarterback, maybe you peek over there and you notice Dallas. But even if you peek over there and you notice Dallas, Dallas is not looking. Dallas is actually running stutters, like he's actually juking a dude.
Took him a while, as if anyone was there.
Because he didn't expect to be open either. So Jalen read the play exactly right where he threw the ball at the wrong spot, ultimately. And if you look on the Hard Knocks version of it, it kind of explained everything that I said on my breakdown this week.
You know, it's funny. Like, you got there. I was going to ask you after a while. But what, like, as a Philadelphia Eagle and as an analyst, how did you see that first episode of Hard Knocks? How did it play to you when you saw it?
Well, I'll say this, is that I'm never a big fan of having having from a player's perspective. Mm-hmm. From a fan perspective, it's great.
Right.
But from a player perspective, especially when you have all the drama that you have going on, you have, you know, that pressure in order to put on. But it did make Jalen look good in a certain light, is that, you know, him taking responsibility. But that doesn't take away from everything that kind of goes on. And the truth is that Kevin Petullo is the sacrificial lamb for a lot of Jalen Hurts' mistakes. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And people want to blame Kevin Petullo because of what Jalen has brought us. Jalen has brought us a championship. Mm-hmm. He's brought us stability. The run game has been great. But when you look at Coach Sirianni is a great football coach. He's not just a good football coach. He gets his players to play for him. He's a really – and Brian Johnson didn't work, we get him out of there, right? He was able to make that change. Sean Desai didn't work, we get him out of there. He was able to make that change. For some reason, he's willing to die on the hill for Kevin Petullo and not change him in his position. And I think that has to do more with him understanding that this is not a Kevin Petullo issue. This is Jalen Hurts that needs to get to a different place mentally and in his game.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I didn't get a chance to talk to you at all before we did this. And I was just kind of curious, because I'm always curious about what you're going to say. And you bring a different perspective to this show. You're echoing my sentiments when I watched that. And I tried to temper it, because I was telling Joe this morning, it's one episode.
Yeah.
You know, and you know that there's a lot more to unfold when it comes to this story. But it did feel like it was a narrative, like of sorts. And I don't know what it is, but it did feel like that. And as far as the blame game goes, this is the thing that we all try to tell people, is that it's not always one thing. It's never just one thing. And it's a bunch of different things that happen. It's like a snowball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not one snowflake. It's a bunch of snowflakes. And when it goes downhill, it gains momentum, it gets worse. But yeah, when I look at this and I look at all the variables in it, there's a lot that goes on in this, and there's a lot that we still don't know. And that's why I asked, how I just want to fix it as best we possibly can before Monday.
Yeah, before Monday. And the thing is that we're going to have to find a way. And here's the thing that we can do, and this is something that has worked against the Chargers, you know, defense this week in particular, is that Jacksonville was able to have some splash running plays with Tootin and Etienne in the backfield. And what they did was what Ben Johnson did to our defense, is a bunch of motions behind the line of scrimmage, which caused the linebacker's eyes to be displaced and moved in the wrong direction. And the defensive ends for the Chargers, especially their big guys, when you look at Dupree and you look at Tuipulotu, those guys are a little bit cautious on the edge, and a lot of teams don't even block those guys. They'll go gap scheme, they'll put a guy in motion, and they have that motion behind the line of scrimmage. So those are some things that we can do in order to get our run game going. So that's a simple fix, and I think we can echo or kind of repeat what we've seen with Ben Johnson, and I think that's something that's in our game plan already when it comes to motion behind the line of scrimmage. And the other thing too, as far as offenses run, is we got to get more than, you know, the 10 passing plays that we do. I'm not saying there's a wholesale
change. They need more
variety. Here's the thing: the Eagles have the plays. Why they're not running them, that's to be determined.
All right, Jason Avant with us for lunch hour. Before we go to the phone lines here, take some calls. Jason, you mentioned something a few minutes ago, kind of those quick fixes when Hugh was asking you what they could do. You mentioned Jalen running more, using Jalen's legs more. There were a couple reports over the weekend, one from Jeff McClain of the Inquirer, one from Jimmy Kemsky of Philly Voice, that I'm paraphrasing, that Jalen, before the season and during the season, maybe he's expressed he doesn't want to run as much. Maybe that's not going to be as much a part of the game plan. If Jalen isn't using his legs, how big of an impact is that on how good he could be? Because, like, I think about quarterbacks that have been mobile, and then as they got older, right, Donovan, Russell Wilson, Mark Brunell was like that for me. Like, when guys have their legs, they're a dual threat, and then they lose that as they age, it changes their game. Now, some guys evolve past it, some guys don't. If Jalen isn't as willing, or they're not as willing to call the plays, how much does that hamper how good this offense could be?
Yeah, Jalen is not, you know, the purest gunslinger, right? So his mobility and his game, part of his game, you know, I would say 40 to 50% of his game has to do with his legs. So basically you turn into 40, 50% less of the player in turn, right? If you're not using that, because you need to keep the defense honest. So yeah, are we waiting for him to evolve and become the player that he knows that he can be when it comes to delivering the football? Yeah, we're waiting on that. But in the interim, you can't deny who you are, right? So going away from that is like, you know,
you're not staying true to who you are.
No, you're not. It's like I purchase this, but you know, this part of the whatever it is that I purchase,
you, I help you with this.
It's not working.
It's like
he's good with analogies. Yeah.
When people wear spandex, and you ain't got a spandex body, just because they make it in your size, don't mean you need to purchase it.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Because we see it all the time. Just because it comes in your size.
It's a fun analogy. I'm not sure it applies, but it's a fun analogy.
It's just like, it just don't mean you got to get it.
Yeah.
So you just don't get it.
So, all right, let me ask you this question from, that's the perspective of like an analyst.
Yeah.
You guys were players. Does part of you get it? Like, Jalen is at the stage of his career where, I mean, he could have a contract extension if they want to after the season. Like, part of me does understand, like, the human player part of it. Like, maybe he doesn't want to get hurt anymore. You know, he got the concussion last year when he ran. Do you guys get that? Or do you say, no, he's got to do what's best for the team? Like, do you understand? If it's true that he is...
I'll let Jason go first.
If it's true that maybe doesn't want to run as much anymore to prioritize his long-term health on the field. Jason, do you get that? Or is it like, come on, man, we need the best of you?
Well, there's the responsibility of the player to look out for, you know, his best interest.
Sure.
Right? So, and that's what you're saying. His best interest may be to be injury-free. But at the same time, this is a return on investment for any organization. And this is what it is Jalen has to, with all caution that he needs, to run the ball. There's ways for the quarterback to get down. You can slide.
Sure.
You can dive head forward. Like, you can do head first. You can do all those things and still be aggressive when it comes to running the ball. And then Josh Allen is a much better thrower than Jalen, and he's willing to sacrifice, and he's willing to do what it takes in order to get out of bounds or be explosive and run for third and shorts, there's no way that a mobile quarterback like Jalen Hurts, we should be last or close to last in the league on third downs. It's just, it should never happen.
And early in his career, I thought he was great at it. His first year, they didn't have any weapons, and he extended so many drives with runs. That game against the Chargers, his first year as a starter, I was at that game. He did the flip for the first down. It used to be a calling card of him.
Yeah.
And now we're not getting it's not even, it's one thing, it's the design runs. It's also not as many scrambles. Hugh, what do you think? Like the player perspective, preserving his body versus, hey, the team needs me to do this.
This is what we signed up for. And there are certain, you know, things that come along with playing this game that we play, that we signed up for, we've been playing, like a lot of us have been playing our whole lives. You know what I mean? So when I play, it never dawned on me that I would feel the way that I feel now. Now, I'm okay. I mean, as far as you can be okay for a person that played in the league for 10 years. But I look back on the sacrifices that I made and some of the things that I did. The only thing that I regret, Jason, is that I didn't take better care of my body when I was younger. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you talk about getting rest, not drinking too much alcohol, you know, like just doing, you know, I used to laugh at guys to do the hyperbaric chambers and the massages and things of that nature. Now that I look back on it and I say, if I'd have took better care of my body, maybe I'd have got a couple more years out of the game or something like that. So that's the only regret that I have. But any decision I made to play and leave it all out there on the field, nah, I don't regret any of that.
Yeah.
No.
Nah. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington up on WIP. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
what's
Jeff.
What's going on?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason and Hugh, I really appreciate the way you guys break stuff down. There's a lot of stuff that we see on TV that we're not privy to the inside information.
Not Joe, though.
What about my breakdowns, Jeff? What about my breakdowns? No, go ahead, Jeff.
You
just
break
kidding.
Down when Elliot comes on and you just wig out on him.
Well, I mean, sometimes someone's got to tell him, like, his stuff is just nonsense.
Hey, Joe, a breakdown is a breakdown. I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah, breakdown's a breakdown. Jeff, go ahead. We're just having fun.
And Hugh's low-key instigating when he tells Joe to. You heard him.
Oh, like, of course he is. I know.
That's my dog.
Yeah, that's what he does. Oh, go ahead, Jeff. What are you feeling?
Okay, so the initial part of the show was talking about whether Sirianni's job is intact if it goes south.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of the two Super Bowl appearances and the win, I think it is. I don't know about Petullo, but I can't speak on that, but I can't see them. I know they moved off of Doug, but I think that Carson situation was way worse than what we have with Jalen Hurts.
Well, it was. Yeah, Jalen's better than Carson.
Yeah. So, in my opinion, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but I just can't see them moving away from Sirianni if things go south.
Yeah, I don't think want to move off anyone. I just, if I'm Jeff Lurie, I'm like, I can't have the 25th best offense.
Something's got to change.
Yeah, they have to change the variable. And Jeff, we appreciate the phone call. We were unpacking Jason the last couple of days. Like, if this goes south and they end the season either collapsing or close to it, and the offense is like towards the bottom of the league, it's just hard for me to believe they bring everyone back next year. Like, that's not how the Eagles usually operate. And they have a coach that's been at two Super Bowls. They have a quarterback that's been a Super Bowl MVP and it's under contract. Like, I don't know what they do. Do they just hope a new coordinator fixes everything in the offseason?
Well, a new coordinator has shown, if you get the right coordinator, that they can fix they can fix a lot.
The only issue for that, for me, is like it feels like we're on this up and down. Like, if we get a new coordinator and he's good,
he's gone.
He's a head coach, right? And just like Steichen, just like Kellen Moore. So, like, if I'm Jeffrey Lurie and this keeps going this way, I have to ask myself at some point, where's my stability within all this?
No, it's so hard to just leave Nick Sirianni.
I understand.
That would be tough. I think that they would do something at the quarterback position before they get rid of Nick Sirianni.
Do you think that would be... All right, so let's unpack that for a second. Because to me, Howie Roseman, when he's not sure, he hedges. So if Jalen continues to play like this, if the offense thinks, would that be a draft pick? Or do you think they would go get another get another guy to replace Jalen? Because a draft pick is just a guy in the pipeline. You know what I mean? When they drafted Jalen, Carson was still the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Eagles would draft a quarterback?
Well, this is a hypothetical.
Yeah, it's all hypothetical.
And this is kind of tough. We're going down a whole path that's kind of bizarre. Mm-hmm. But what do I think in that situation? I think that you would give Tanner McKee his shot at that point.
Okay.
At that time, if that's what you come up with.
Right.
But remember, the Eagles have a lot of season left. They have some time to kind of correct their ills and try to make a playoff run. And we know that this team is capable of doing it. Will they be able to, shake the demons of this year in order to do that? To be determined.
Yeah, that will be. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's do this quickly. And I'm sorry that we're subjecting Jason to this, but Cowboy Jim is up. Cowboy Jim, go ahead.
Oh, I haven't heard on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Yeah.
Bad days.
Not this week, Jim.
I'm so sorry about that. Oh, and by the way, Kevin Petullo's kids are also being harassed at school. So, with all due respect, all
right, let's not do anything with the Petullo stuff. Go ahead. Just talk about the Eagles.
All right, fine. Hey, and as for Charger Aaron, I know your favorite teams will be playing, but I'm glad you're not going to the game because you'll be taking all the oxygen out of the area. So anyway, Joe, hey, listen, I need
not
to
right.
rip Joe Giglio Prescott right now.
Okay.
So, Joe, no positivity about the Cowboys comes from your mouth. 2 years of Jerry sucks. Prescott sucks.
Well, I never said that. I never said Dak sucks.
They win three games, and you're already like, oh wow, well, looks like they're going to go to the playoffs. Looks like they could go, move on.
Well, they're playing well. I mean, what do you want me to say? They've won three in a row.
And if they lose to the Lions, you'll be like, oh well, that's typical of the Cowboys.
Sure,
that's
what's
going to come out of your mouth.
That's exactly. You're right. That's exactly what's going to happen. You nailed it.
Listen, Hugh, I have a serious question for you.
What you got?
And Mr. Avant, I have also this goes to you too. Do you think there's players out there that just say, I don't want to be coached. I don't need to be coached anymore. I've been in this game long enough, and this could be hurting teams. How do you feel about that? And has that ever happened to either one of you?
I don't – no, not any team that I've ever been on. I never feel like somebody felt that they couldn't be coached. Now, there's some
– good call, Jim.
Some quarterback – like I told you, I talk about Boomer all the time.
Yeah, right.
And how Boomer – was arrogant, like Boomer. My first year in the league, he was my quarterback at the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And Boomer, like, he was with the Bengals. I think that was his team before he came to the Jets. He was with the Bengals. And he took the Bengals to the Super Bowl. And he's from the area, and he was a little arrogant, And when they started to move off from Boomer, he was a little bit upset. He went to Arizona and had a pretty good season, if I'm not mistaken. But that's because he was the Long Island kid that came back home, and he was that dude. But as far as being a person that is uncoachable, that was the closest thing that I've ever ran into anything like that.
Yeah. When it comes for me, is that certain guys you need to I won't say I know some guys that didn't think that they need as much coaching as they they thought. You find those guys and you see those guys a lot. But I will say that it's all about how you deliver the information to some. Everyone is not going to take coaching the same way, right? Some guys you need to establish a relationship with and they can't take hard coaching. Then other guys can be dog cursed because they had Nick Saban, right? So
they're used to it. Yeah.
They're used to it. So you have to just find that. But everyone wants to be coached. You just got to figure out what language or what frequency they're on in order to give that information.
Well, I would think players just want to get better, right? Like if you get better, you'll last in the league more, you'll make more money. I mean, I would think it's like benefits both parties. The coach gets more out of you and you play better.
It does, but you're going into that area where you're dealing with people that have been good so long that some people are not receptive as you think to coaching.
More stubborn.
My way is right.
Yep.
So there's guys that think that they know more than coaches.
Which they probably don't. I mean, I would imagine most players don't. Yeah.
That's why you need senior coaching and you need established coaching because you don't want your players looking at you like, dude, that was freaking stupid.
Yeah, right. That kid.
I used to look at what's his name? Jack Del Rio like that. Jack brought it, dog.
Is that why he cut you on Hard Knocks?
Jack brought an axe and a piece of wood in the locker room and said he tried to mandate that everybody chop the wood.
You don't strike me as a wood chopping guy.
And I told him, I was like, I'm not a lumberjack.
Did you do anything for us?
Not like that. And one of the, I think it was the kicker, damn near cut his leg off.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah, Jack didn't last much longer than that, if I remember right. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll continue this after the break. Jason Avant with us. We also want to get Jason to take out something one of his former teammates said about this Eagles offense and a change they could make. 215-592-9494. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, you can't expect to handle a long drive if you're starting every morning in bad field position. It's a football metaphor. And a worn-out mattress would do that for you fast. Lucky for you, the Mattress Warehouse semi-annual warehouse clearance event is happening right now with mattresses warehouse-wide, savings up to 60%. That's up to $800 off top brand names you all know and love, like Sealy, Tempur-Pedic, and all those good names. And you can score a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. Y'all heard me talk about these adjustable bases. Listen, as an older person, you can take that adjustable base and it vibrates and you can put the head up and the legs up and you can be all kind of creative when it comes to that adjustable base, you know. And they have queen mattresses starting at just $179.99. Mattress Warehouse has a mattress for everybody and every budget. Whether you're upgrading or your own setup or getting the house ready for the holidays, you know, when we got people coming around and everything. You'll find the perfect fit backed by 100% comfort guarantee plus 0% interest financing, free day next delivery, and the Mattress Warehouse signature 1-year lowest price guarantee. Take it from me, the big fella. Why shop anywhere else? Visit TheMattressWarehouse.com to find a location near you. That's TheMattressWarehouse.com, MattressWarehouse.com.
Yeah, we need a lot of help. The Eagles need some help. We need help. That's why we brought in Jason Avant. Welcome back. Midday show. Hugh Douglas show. Joey, the lunch hour with Jason Avant. All right, Eagles offense needs some help. And we're looking for answers, trying to fix this thing down the stretch of the season. All right, before we go back to the phones, talk about the Charger game Monday, I want to play something for you here, Jason. Last week we talked about, and you mentioned it today, like maybe a spotter, someone tracking things up in the booth to kind of help, Petullo. Nick Foles, your former teammate, had a thought on maybe a different move for Kevin Petullo that could help him out as he calls the plays. Here's Nick.
What I'm looking at is, all right, Kevin Petullo, I was looking at his history, and this is, you know, there might be some minor changes, but from what I picked up was being a passing game coordinator, his role was to be in the box, to be in the booth, to oversee what is happening on the field from a up above perspective, not being on the sidelines with the players and feeling the emotion from the sidelines. He was in a controlled environment to see coverages, to see plays, to make recommendations in the passing game in his career in Philadelphia up to this year. When he was hired from within to be the offensive coordinator, he then, and I agree with his standpoint and what he said, I want to be on the sideline where I can speak to Jalen Hurts and speak to the offense and they can see me face to face and have that interpersonal communication. I love that. I love that before the season. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that's what the players were used to. And it's always nice having your coach on the sideline to talk. But at this point, something needs to happen, and I don't think Kevin needs to be fired. So I think the answer right now is little micro changes to make guys more comfortable in their position. So I think Kevin Petullo's first thing needs to get out of the sideline, get away from what's going on, the emotions, because that could be clouding your vision with play calling. You have a different perspective from the sideline. You can't see the coverages as they're forming. You can't see the defensive alignments very well. You can see it on the tablet afterwards and sort of make predictions. But when you're up in the box, you can see it as the drive is going on, what they're trying to do. And you can see the concepts forming more clearly. And that is what you have been trained in since 2021, to sit in the box.
All right, Jason, before you give your thought on what Nick's saying there,
slow down.
Kevin Petullo, doing his press conference today, was presented with this idea, the one that we're listening to from Nick Foles, and he said he hasn't been in the booth since 2011. He values the communication on the field. What were your perspective on coordinators, where they've been for you in the past, the play caller, and your thought on what Nick's saying there, that maybe he'd see it better up top?
Well, I'm always a proponent of younger coaches being in the booth. That's so Nick, what Nick is saying, you know, makes sense. The reason is because when you are younger, like Nick said, you're able to see the defensive front, you're able to see the blitzes, you're able to know right away, okay, they did this in cover three, there's no guessing. You're only able to see half the field from the sideline. So you're making an educated guess, which you're going to be right 85% of the time, right? But there's going to be things on the other side of the field that you don't see. And usually skilled and people that have been in a position for years who started in the booth have come down to the sideline because they're able to recognize and still see everything from that position because of all the experience. When you don't have the experience, you may want to go to the booth so you can see the game better. I think that's just a great spot for a younger coach. That's me.
So the other side, and this is what Petullo is referencing, is the communication factor. He could talk to Jalen. He could talk to his receivers. Watching some of the Hard Knocks yesterday, I did see the one scene when AJ caught the touchdown against the Bears, and Petullo went up and kind of hugged him and said, I told you, and which I thought meant, we're going to get you the ball, I told you. Which is, that was a good scene, but I also wonder, down there, is there a lot going on? Like, he's thinking about talking to Jalen. Is he thinking about AJ's emotions or whatever? Like, to me, up top is a little clearer head. Do you think there's good value of being on the sideline? Like, he's referencing he likes being on the sideline to communicate. How much value is in that?
There's some value in that, right? Especially if you're a calm and cool guy and there is chaos. And if you can, and if you say you're in a situation where you have a volatile head coach, right? And you are a very, you know, positive person, that can lend, you know, can go a long way because you're kind of calming the emotions, you're letting a player know. But remember, he has a position coach.
Right.
And a position coach is usually the person that's going to be the person that's going to calm his emotions and let them know the situations in the game, what happened there. So, yeah, I understand his perspective. Do I necessarily think that it's needed on this team? Maybe not, because Nick Sirianni is a guy that's going to be ultra positive at all times.
Hugh, what do you think about all this? Petullo, could it help if he goes up top?
Can I say this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Remember the part I said earlier in the show that they need
a spotter.
The spotter, someone that's looking at the routes. What did A.J. Brown catch for his first touchdown? He caught basically a 5 yard out and up, something that they run, right? Something that's similar to a stop and go. That's basically what they did. They ran a double move and, okay, they're ripe for it because they're sitting on our routes. That's the type of thing that they need. And it's not just an and go. It can be an and out or and in. They can just add in that, and it'll help change the offense too. But go ahead, Hugh.
No, Jim Johnson, for us, was on the sideline. And I was a proponent of being on the sideline. But when you said about being a younger offensive coordinator, that made a lot of sense to me because Jim been in the game a long time.
Jim going to see it no matter
what. Yeah, he going to see it.
He sees where the three technique is. He know the whole defense.
Yeah, and it's like Jim, but Jim used to want to be hands-on because Jim liked to curse.
Well, I'm sure he was cursing at you when you were screwing things up, if I know you well enough.
I love Jim, man.
Yeah, Jim was a good coordinator because he adapted his defense to the talent all the time. He adapted it to the guys that he had on the field, and he always tried to play to your strengths.
Yeah. Freaking Jerry. Jerry, yeah. This is what he called me, Jerry. Jerry, this is our drill. You can't catch. Let the defensive back ball. Don't catch it.
Every time Hugh tells a story, he's telling me he's got yelled at by someone, whether it be Jim.
Oh, it was Jim or Tommy. It was either Jim or Tommy. And they would yell. You know how loud the link is, right?
Yeah, of course.
I could hear Tommy yelling at me. Like, the whole place going bananas. Damn it, Douglas! What are you doing? Huh? And I used to be like, huh? It used to piss him off when I was like, huh?
Kind of sounds like Kyle in our meeting, just a little less impactful when Kyle does it. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. And today's show in this hour, sponsored by McGurk's Pub. If you're looking for a spot to watch the game, make it McGurk's. We've been to all the McGurk's locations. They have awesome food and the perfect game day atmosphere. Let's go to Mario in Northeast Philly, who I think we're seeing tonight at the Flyers game. What's up, Mario?
What's up, fellas? What's the deal?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Hey, I don't think Sirianni should. I think his job's safe.
Okay.
I honestly think Hurts is the problem, man. One thing I've been noticing, nobody's really coming to his bat with everything that's going on stuff with BG, and that speaks volumes to me. I think the coaches are good too, but I just think Kalen will get bench next year if we do go in the drought. And like you said, I think he will get changes will be made by the quarterback, like Avant said. I do think that. But I like Sirianni, man. It's a rough little thing right now, but they're going to get it together, man. I hope so. But I think Jalen's the problem, man. And looking forward to seeing y'all tonight.
Mario, excited to see you tonight. Flyers game tonight with our listeners. Mario, good phone call. So he said he thinks they're going to get it together. Jason, if you had to forecast the rest of the season, how do you think this plays out? I mean, we're at a crossroads now, right? They have lost two in a row, which they did in October, and then they did bounce back and win four in a row after the two-game losing streak. So we could point to that as good vibes. Five games left, and suddenly they really got to wake up because Dallas is playing good football. Dallas is scheduled. They play in Detroit on Thursday. Challenging game. But after that, they've got some winnable games down the stretch. Dallas is probably going to win a lot of these games coming up. So we need wins. Do you think this is going to get turned around?
I think this is one of those.
The pause told me everything.
No, because he thought I was going to speak it. I'm like, I can't get over the pause.
At this stage, the Eagles are like a one and done playoff team.
I agree with you. That's what they look like right now.
That's the truth. Unless they can get the run game going, and they can hit more play action plays, and they can figure out how to take advantage of matchups. But here's the thing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got to do something for 8 people in a box. No one's afraid of the back end anymore, like our receivers in the back end. We got to be able to figure out what to do for 8 people in a box, and then the coverages off of it. Teams are figuring out, okay, if we press outside and play zone in that press, it's going to throw Jalen for a loop when it comes to over the middle of the field. And so now he's subject to their limited passing options outside, not with the receivers, but their route tree.
Sure.
And so we know what those are. And so I think teams have taken what Todd Bowles have done to the Eagles and have just constantly replicated that over the weeks that we've seen. It's basically the game plan for Ty Bowles. Let's keep as many people toward the line of scrimmage as we can. Let's mix up the coverages on the back end and confuse him with the way those looks. Okay, it's cover three, but I'm pressing it. Oh, it's cover two, but I'm making it look like man, and it's getting kind of confusing. So that's what I think is happening, and the only way you can solve that is you hit more explosives, but that's going to happen with the run game.
Sure. So let's go to the run game for a second. Saquon was a little bit better in this past game. Like, they had more production in the run game, but they didn't run it as much, right? They have 13 rushes on Friday against Chicago. It feels like when they get into it, they're down in a game like they were this past game, and they have to throw more late to come back. It just feels like they haven't had a game where he's been pretty good or good, and they've also run it 20 times. It just feels like we haven't had many of those games.
He was actually good this game. Yeah. It's just that we couldn't sustain offense enough and keep, you know, the Bears off the field. We had 17 plays of offensive or just plays on offense in the first half against the Bears. And they were actually moving the ball when it came to running it. And Saquon had a good average for the game. It's just that when you get behind, you can't do it. So,
all right, quickly on that, only 17 plays. Sirianni's had kind of an interesting year when it comes to, I think, being too conservative around the two-minute warning. They had a moment, I think it was Friday's game. Yeah, it was, where they snapped the ball or the play ended with like 2:37 left in the first half. They let it run down, like, and they just took it to the two-minute warning. Do you think they should try to move with some tempo more? Especially, I just feel like they're trying to bleed clock all the time, but they're not up in these games. They're not winning. It's weird.
They're looking at it from the defensive perspective, right? When you're going up against potent offenses, you like the Cowboys and like the Bears and like the Lions, you're looking at it like, if we don't convert on third down, they get an opportunity with a minute and 20 left to go get points. And guess what? Based on the stats, that he's right, because the Eagles go three and out and are bad on third down, that the chances that they don't convert is higher, and then these teams that are explosive are going to get points.
So he's playing to what he has.
He's actually looking at the stats and saying this is the more likely that this will happen in the opposite way.
Yeah, I get that, because the offense has stunk all year. Let's go to Jack in Redding. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, Jack. What's up?
Hey, I just want to talk about the recent Hard Knocks episode we all watched last night with Jalen Hurts and taking accountability.
Okay, what do you think? What'd you think about it?
I think it's a front. I think he's faking.
Faking, like, that it was his fault? Faking the conversation? Like, what do you mean by faking?
I think he knew the camera crew was on him. And because, listen, guys, Devontae Smith had to go up to him. He didn't go up to Devontae Smith first to take accountability. We all saw that, right?
I didn't read it that way.
No, I saw what you're saying, but go ahead.
Yeah. I know it.
The bottom line is, why hasn't there been media clips of him taking accountability all year until the Hard Knocks crew started videoing him?
Well, you got to understand,
it's scripted. There's a narrative there. Not my fault to cut you off, Jason, I feel like I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong, Jack, but I feel that there's a narrative there, because on the flip side, they featured Dak a lot. Jaden Daniels kind of featured, but the two quarterbacks that were prominent in this were Jalen and Dak.
Yeah, they're the stories in the division.
So I hear what you're saying. Not saying you're wrong, but I don't think you can make that assessment in one episode.
Well, here's my thing that will kind of disprove what you say, because Jalen is one of the most accountable quarterbacks in the league. If you ever just watch after the game and listen to his press conference, Jalen is the first one to fall on the sword for his team and also admit when he makes mistakes. But there's a difference between admitting you made a mistake and then continuing to make the mistake. Eventually it gets old, and I think that's more of the issue than anything. It's saying, you know what, I am going to get better from this, but the progress is not happening
fast.
It's one thing to say my bad, it's another thing to do it again the next time.
It's my bad, you know, over and over again. And then people think that not that you're, you know, disingenuous, but it's more of a, can he do it or not? Can he, you know, get over his shortcomings?
No, guys, I get what you're saying completely, but here's my side of it. Why haven't there been, you know, there's a lot of social media managers for the Eagles and whatnot, the NFL. Why hasn't there been clips of him taking accountability up until the point where he knows there's a camera on him at all times with Hard Knocks?
That's what I'm telling you. He does all the time. That's not a...
And be fair, man, it's a small... Like, it's one episode.
Also, if we're thinking about this from the Eagles' perspective, like, social media teams are going to put their players in a good light.
In the best light
possible. Right, so they're going to put a highlight of his touchdown throw, not the highlight of the conversation after he misses. Yeah. Right? Like, so, Jack, I get it. We don't see that as much. And I'm excited. And Jack, good phone call. I'm excited to see the rest of the series, just see where it goes. But, I mean, who's putting those clips out, right? Like, why would the Eagles put a clip of Jalen going up to Devontae and saying, I screwed up again? Like, that doesn't make him look good. It makes him look good in terms of accountability, but not like he's playing well. I'm not surprised we haven't seen much of that before last night.
Well, see, and this is where I said this morning, and that's why I said he saw what he saw. I'm going to say that. I don't know if it's true. I don't believe it's true, but.
His perception, the caller, you mean?
Yes. Like,
yeah, okay.
Yes, he saw what he saw. And you have to understand that they're building a narrative. Like, that's where we have to be fair to all parties involved. Because the first thing that jumped out to me, you watch it last night. Is how they painted Dak as a leader. Like, I'm not saying that Dak's not a leader. I've never been around Dak. But he was personable with his players. He was interactive. Mm-hmm. It was a side of Dak that I never get a chance to see. And you know, being, you know, that A-list actor that I am, I've been in situations where I know. No, but seriously, all jokes aside, I know that there's a narrative that they're trying to portray. Mm-hmm. So you take everything with a grain of salt. And they're still developing these storylines.
Yeah, and I agree with that. When it comes to the Jalen thing, is that just the process of him coming off the field is never to go right to the receiver. The process of coming off the field as an offensive player is to go directly to your position coach. In that case, it would be Scott Leffler, and then it'll be Kevin Petullo. They're going to go and talk with the quarterback about everything that happened on that series. And then after that meeting is done and you've gone to your receivers coach and talked to him, then the players come together. And Devontae kind of probably came over a little bit before that happened. But to say that Jalen didn't go to him is kind of wrong, because you don't know the process of what's going on.
Yeah, also, it's not a camera that's on the whole time. They're just showing. Yeah. I mean, they're splicing things together to make a TV show. All right, Jason, let's look forward to Monday night. It's a big one for the Eagles. Big one for the Chargers, too. So
yeah.
We do not know yet about Justin Herbert. He has a hand issue. He had surgery.
It happened in the first quarter of the last game, and he came back in.
Recklessly speculated.
And the line on the game is sat around Eagles -3, which tells me he's going to probably play in the game. But yeah. We'll see. How good are the Chargers? And your thought on Jim Harbaugh as a coach? I mean, obviously, you know this coach very well. Jim Harbaugh, how good or great of a coach? And what do you think that the job he's doing with the Chargers?
I think he's doing good, you know, especially under the circumstances. They're down two of their best players on their entire team.
I mean, those Rashawn tackles Slater, are great players.
Yeah, well, Rashawn Slater is out, ruptured patella. Joe Alt's out, great. And so they're giving up more sacks than normal. They've had to bench, you know, Mekhi Becton against the Jags. They've had to do a bunch of things. Guys are pushing the pocket. So they're, like, great on third downs despite this, right? Despite not having protection, they're number two in the league, completing almost 49% of their third downs, wow. Right? So they're good at that. They're just okay at running the football. They depend on their guys on the outside in order to get a lot of this heavy lifting done. And they have elite players when it comes to separation. Ladd McConkey gets open as well as anybody in this league. Keenan Allen has some of the best routes in the history of the NFL and is open. Normally, and Quentin Johnston is coming into his own, having a breakout year for himself. He puts a lot of balls on the ground, but no one can handle him running full speed. Mm. So they have a lot of weapons that we need to worry about. Defensively, they do give up a lot of rushing yards. I talked about it earlier in the show with the Jaguars, how they were able to basically run the ball down their throat.
That was a blowout.
Yeah,
that game.
It ended up being a blowout, and it wasn't many explosive passing plays. It was all big runs. So they give up a lot of yards when it comes to running the ball. So we have to, but they are great in pass defense, and they don't have the best personnel. But they get after the passer with Khalil Mack and Tyre. Tart and those guys, Bud Dupree's a backup for them, Tui Pelotu, all those guys get after it up front. Derwin James is a manimal, one of the best safeties in the game. So, and then they have a guy that I'm worried about in Dante Jackson, a guy from the Steelers and the Panthers, who's been responsible for two interceptions over the last game, and they are on plays that we run all the time. Mm. So that's kind of nerve-wracking. So he'll be on A.J. Brown a bunch. He's intercepted a comeback route, which is a stop route for us. He's intercepted a back shoulder fade. Well, he didn't intercept it, but he tipped the ball, and the safety intercepted it, right? So the Chargers are a good football team. The offensive line is injured, severely injured, and we have to take advantage of that, and we have to be able to run the ball.
So it feels like our run game and our defensive line have to go win this game. That's the way you're describing
it. Our run game, our defensive line should, because if we are depending totally on the secondary to just cover every time, they're going to be able to find a matchup. And it's not necessarily going to be a Quinion game where he's just isolated. No, they're not going to get you isolated one-on-ones. They move a lot behind the line of scrimmage. They cross routes. They bring in multiple personnel. So they're going to have plays where there's one receiver in the game, two tight ends, and a fullback. Like, it's going to be stuff like that. That's what Jim Harbaugh is, right? So he's going to mix up the personnels and those types of things. He's a good football coach, and they're a tough team, especially defensively. Jesse Minder's doing a great job. They're a tough football team.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the way you describe it, I didn't realize their pass defense was that good, because I look at the names. I'm like, and Derwin James obviously is a great player, but like, they don't have standout names, like first-round pick corners or anything like that, but they stop the pass.
They stop the pass. And the way that they do it, the way that they stop that, they're like us in that we're a cover four base. Right, and they bring and they mix it. They mix it up on third downs. You get their exotic blitzes, then you get zone coverages behind it. You get man sometimes, so you don't know what you're going to get on those downs. A lot of times, the statistician upstairs can say, "Hey, you know what? On third downs, you know they play man 67% of the time, or it's going to be cover three this amount of time." With the Chargers, you don't know which one you're going to get, so it's confusing to the quarterback.
Hugh tells me we're getting a low scoring game potentially on Monday.
Man, I take
bite
it.
Bite our nails.
As long as it's a dub.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I care.
Oh, they move the ball really well between the 20s. Don't convert touchdowns.
So the red zone.
Rate.
The red zone is our
red
spot.
Zone defense is all great. Right. So they move the ball between the 20s very well. Red zone, they're, you know, not bottom of the league, but at the 21, 22 range.
Yeah, that's why this feels to me like a low scoring close game. Jason, we appreciate coming in as always. Thank you.
No, thank you guys for having me.
We always have fun. All right, Jason Avant will be back with us next week. The Lunch Hour with Jason Avant was brought to you by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Group Studio, part of the Dudatta Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, you know what time it is for next, right?
What we got?
You have your notebook or your iPad ready?
Yes.
Quarterback power rankings, Hugh Douglas. Oh, get ready. The people are going to love this. 215-592-9494. How far down the list till we get to Jalen's name this week? QB power rankings next. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the number one sports book for same game parlays. From points to rebounds to threes and assists, FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same game parlay or track every stat live, all in one easy to use app. Right now is the perfect time to join. New customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So bet on the players you love the way you want. Head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to sign up today. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.